Blog Talk Radio.
I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, licensed mental health counselor, spiritual relationship healer, and somatic body psychotherapist, helping men and women heal their bodies and their relationships through love. I'm also author of the book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and the romantic novel Love in the Blizzard of Life, and creator of Healing Through Love seminars, Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me Relationship System, and the upcoming 30-Day Love Challenge. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter what age you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are proving that life can and often does get better and better as we reach our 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and beyond. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with my long-term friend, mastermind associate, and colleague, Aileen Munch. She's a world traveler and insightful visionary. An awakening experience in 1980 challenged all of her conditioning, and she went on a healing journey to uncover, retrieve, and heal the fragments of her own soul. Energy healing, relationship counseling, transformational coaching, shamanic wisdom, all blending together in the approach she now uses with her clients to help them wake up, grow up, clean up, and shape up, contributing their unique gifts to the evolution of a more peaceful and connected world, which we would all love to have. So I'm so delighted to have you here, Aileen. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Erica. I love the music at the beginning of the show. I was beginning to dance, you know.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. So I would love you to tell us about your background, your training, your prior work experience and life experience, whatever led to you becoming this illuminary and transformational coach.
Yes, okay. So maybe just starting from the old continent where I grew up on. You know, I'm originally from France, and the story I usually tell is that France was no longer big enough for my mother and myself. So I had to leave. Actually, parents divorcing in 1968. I was in Paris during the student revolution. And I really didn't understand what was going on, except that I just didn't want to stay here. I couldn't stay here. I just, you know, I grew up after World War II, and all I heard every day from my parents was war stories. And I just, you know, I had to leave. I had to find a way to leave. So probably one of my biggest value is adventure, sense of adventure. So I somehow found somebody to marry here because that's the way it happened. You know, I met somebody and we both left. It was easier at 21 to leave with somebody than all by myself. We emigrated to Canada at the time on the Alexander Pushkin, Russian steamboater. And when I reached Canada, you know, that relationship only lasted for about 3 years. It really was a relationship to better leave. And in Canada, I really found the freedom that my soul needed to develop and to start to create the life that I had been programmed by my mother to live. My mother was an anti-model. She said, don't do it like me. don't live the same life. Make sure you are independent and don't marry the first man you meet. Well, I didn't quite marry the first man I met, but it was, it still was for a while a succession of relationships until I eventually learned some deeper truths about myself. So, am I going in the direction you wanted me to tell you?
What kind of training did you have over the years, or what kind of work did you do before that led up to this?
Well, when I found myself in Canada, the first few years, I needed to find a way to earn in my life, you know. So I did a degree in management. I have an MBA, and I worked for 15 years in management. But then during 1980, actually, I had an experience which totally altered the course of my life. And that experience was after an intense period of constant suffering and constant, you know, at 31, I had had four relationship breakups. And I was repeating patterns that I had seen in my family background. And I was blaming everybody, you know, I was kind of feeling like a victim of circumstances. And when I did, when I did the EST training in 1980, that first weekend, it was like a total deconstruction of my mind, the way I'd been conditioned. Actually, I really saw things that I had never seen before. And then
let me just say something here. I mean, something about the EST training, that was I took that also, a very harsh training. They didn't let you leave the room, and they were, like, beating us up emotionally, get off your act. And this was a forerunner to what's known as the forum now.
Yes,
so people may not be so familiar with the original S training.
Yes, that's
so anyway,
right. It has morphed many times. Yes, exactly, yes. But what that was the opening for me. And a few days later, I was actually walking my dog in the park, and I sat down just to watch a sunset. And suddenly, out of nowhere, I had an experience out of time. The way I explain it, because you cannot explain those experiences, I knew everything that had happened in the past, everything that is happening in the present, and everything that will happen in the future. You know, I mean, this makes absolutely no sense when you say it like this. But it was an experience of unity with everything, with eternity in the second, in the moment. It was like, today I would say it was an experience of non-duality. I didn't know that word at the time. I would not have been able to explain it that way. But
I've heard another term explain it. I've heard it called cosmic consciousness. I had a similar experience at one point.
Yes, absolutely. It's definitely experiencing the multidimensional aspect of who we are, the divine that we are of. But I certainly did not believe myself to be connected to the divine. I actually felt that I'm the only one on earth that God had abandoned. You know, that was the conditioning I had at the time. So that experience totally altered my frame of reference at the time. And I, being a rational person, needed at that time, I was 31 then, I needed to understand. So I started searching. You know, first I got involved for about 2 or 3 years with that group, and I was trained to lead seminars. And then the following year, I did another experience that again helped me break through my own limits, conditioned limits. And that was during the six-day training. And during that six-day training, it's another rigorous, very rigorous regimen for 6 days, where you kind of rappel down the mountain, you cross a ravine, and every morning you had to run for 1 mile. This is not jog, run, you know. I used to, at the time I was training for the marathon, so I was kind of used to running, you know, to but running at top speed at your maximum, yeah, 1 mile is quite a different story. So one morning I was so tired that I could barely get out of bed. And of course, in this kind of training, you don't go and tell them, I am not feeling good, I'm not going. So I knew there was no point in even trying. So I just kept proceeding and put one foot in front of the other and kept on just remembering, okay, like one step, just one step. And in my head, I had this mantra, kind of, you've got to be willing to die. I don't know where this had come from, okay? You've got to be willing to die. And then one step, and then the next step, and then the next step. And eventually I was at the starting line and I started running. And I had an experience during that run that if I actually did die, I would be actually at the departure, at the arrival, and or everywhere at once, you know? And the most amazing thing that happened to me on that day was that particular day and that particular run, I broke through the speed record of the women in San Diego. I mean, you know, they kept records of the whoever arrived first. Well, I arrived first, and I had broken the speed record that particular day. So that gave me another one of those experiences that shattered my belief system. But, you know, you can call this... Sorry.
What an amazing experience you had. I'm picturing athletes that win the tennis tournaments or any tournaments, that they are very often in that high state of mind.
Yes, yes. And when this is finished, after that, you know, your ego comes back. Your old conditioning comes back. So the rest of my life really has been about searching and trying to understand, but it was no longer in the same context. It was like, what I would say, it was following guidance. From that moment, actually, I probably always have been following guidance, but I didn't kind of know it the way I know it today. Every single time when I had a question about something and a direction was opening up, there was something presenting itself, you know, like a course or a training or a conference or something, and it was always giving me a piece, the next answer that I was searching.
Wow.
And on and on. And I know you also did the DMA training. You know, I was when I was introduced to that that training, this was...
Explain what that is.
I
can explain it. The DMA
that was helping people to create their lives, and that was a very new concept in the 80s. In the 80s, the model that was used most of the time was problem solving, you know, like what don't you want anymore, and then let's find creative solutions for to get rid of what you don't want. But nobody really were asking the question, but what is it that you really want? What do you want in your life, you know? And that was the emergence, really, of the coaching model in the 80s, 90s. That's when, you know, the formal coaching training starting to emerge, 90s probably. But this was like the forerunner to that. And when I took that course, it was like I was just like, I was in awe. I said, how come we have never been taught those things in school? Why are we not taught to create our lives? And that gave me a tool, that gave me tools that I'm still using to that day, actually, and I'm still teaching, you know, the people that I work with, tools to actually learn to imagine what you would like and then proceed, and constantly you have to face your limiting beliefs, your obstacles that you have put in the way, that are in the way by your old conditioning that is still there. I mean, this is millennia old stuff that we have in our lower mind consciousness that needs to be shifted. So
yes, Aileen, I'd like to think for a moment that when I took this DMA course, you become a teacher of this course, and I was teaching people. During that time, I had my doctoral dissertation orals, and that was one of my goals, to pass the orals, and I visualized it, and it came out exactly the way I had visualized it.
Yes.
It just was so easy. I'd been visualizing it. That was amazing. But I want to say one other thing that you're pointing out right now, and we both have really experienced, that you have this powerful experience, and you know something, but then it takes a very long time somehow to integrate it. That's why you go on this search.
Yes, absolutely.
So I'd like you to tell us a little bit about, you've traveled a lot and a lot more, and you've lived in different places that many of us haven't. You know, a lot of us live in one place our whole life. So tell us about your travels and how that affected you.
Yes. Well, just after I started to teach this course, you know, Technologies for Creating, let's call it that way, because that's the name it took later. I actually had a franchise in Montreal. I translated the material into French and developed trained other teachers, and then eventually that took me to go back to France and train a few teachers in France. And at one point I also realized that there are some tools that I didn't have. So I went back and I studied to become a relationship counselor, to get some of the psychological background that I hadn't had up to now. So I did that for about 7 years. And after I had that, I met my current husband, my second husband, and he had a job offer to go to work in Saudi Arabia. And I encouraged him because I wanted to go to Saudi Arabia. I was attracted to go to that country. And everybody was telling me, you're crazy. What are you going to do there as a woman, etc.? But I had come to a point in my life where I had reached what I wanted. You know, I had my own, I was financially independent. I had my own home. I had my own business. I had reached the goals that I had set for myself, and it was time to rock the boat again. That's really the way I can talk about it today. I needed a new challenge, and I felt called. It was, again, a calling. So actually, I was the one who encouraged my husband to accept, because I could very well have told him, oh, no, we've just met, because we actually had just met about 6 months earlier. I knew him before, but we started to really date at that time only. And I said, no, don't go. But I said, no, go, because I wanted to go. Anyway, it took another 7 years before I joined him. And that was another experience where I really understood at another level the conditioning that I had already started to dismantle. You know, the patriarchal kind of conditioning a lot of women still operate from, the limiting beliefs that we took on during those millennia, really, where this energy was prevalent on the earth. And here I was now living in the worst case scenario of that. However, because I had found inner freedom, I had experienced what it meant to be free through all those experiences that I had many of them actually later on, you know, cannot get into telling them all right now. I did not feel a prisoner. I was walking around doing whatever I wanted there. You know, I was not at all stifled because I was free. So that again gave me another experience of what is possible when you have reached a certain state of consciousness. And I've always felt that I had something to do there. There was probably no accident that I was called. I felt called to go there. You know, that I needed to do, and it took me 5 years. I've lived there 18 years, actually. We're probably going to leave in September now. This is the final year for my husband's contract. But altogether, I've lived there 18 years. And in those 18 years, it took me 5 years before I started to meet some of the local ladies and eventually work with some of them and, you know, impart a lot of the stuff that I had learned in my life. And did a lot of trainings, a lot of teachings in the country, and actually had an office as a relationship counselor at one point with the American embassy, under the auspices of the American embassy, because, you know, as a spouse I was not allowed to work, but under the official kind of governmental stuff, you know, you can, there's a lot of exceptions, like always, everywhere else. But during
Background is just so fascinating, and especially at this time, with so much going on in the world and in the Arab culture and all of that. So you describe yourself as a transformational coach. So I'd like to know more about that, like what do you mean by that? And what kind of people do you know you can help? I mean, a lot of people can use your help.
Yes. Well, transformational coaching, I've always been attracted to the transpersonal trainings. And I've done my coaching training at the Institute of Transpersonal Psychology in Palo Alto in California. Because again, I was guided to go there. I met somebody, actually my Reiki master, who I met in Saudi Arabia. She was from New Zealand. She had started her studies, her master's in psychology studies at the Institute. And when she described, you know, what she was learning, I said, well, I must do that. I must go there. So that's how I got involved there. And because that university, it's called Sophia University now, it was probably the only place in official universities where the transpersonal, now it's not the only one anymore, I mean, Ken Wilbert is doing a lot of that now in his university, but at the time, they were allowing and they were researching all those consciousness experiences, the alternate ESP, they were doing research on this, and they were allowing, you know, I was using some of the shamanic training I did with John Perkins as a case study in one of the courses I did. So they allowed some stuff that you couldn't have done in a more kind of traditional university. And all that helped me blend together my life experiences, the deeper wisdom that I had learned from probably also my family of origin. You know, I have my ancestry, I have some people from the land, you know, who had been farmers on my father's side, but also a knowledge that until we reconnect as human people to the earth and respect that planet that we are on, that we are cell of as a living entity, and not treated as, you know, just our fridge to, and then garbage dump whatever we don't want on it, treated irrespectfully, and treat each other the way we treat the earth irrespectfully, we will not have peace in this world. We really need to shift our way of being. So it is not in changing our behavior, but it's changing our way of being, and that is connecting to that essence that we are, that immortal soul that is living in each of us, that has been so programmed out of most people because they have turned into consumers, following all those fear-mongering programs that the media keeps on polluting our minds with, you know, and limiting us with. So
I have a question. How can somebody wake up to this dimension of being and know who they really are? And you also talk about fragmentation of the soul. So maybe talk about both of those. How do we wake up and what are these fragments and how do we overcome that?
Yes, well, the royal road to waking up is meditation. If you haven't had like an experience of grace, I call my experience a grace experience, you know, and so many people, when I share my experiences, they kind of nod, they know what I'm talking about, because many, many people have had those experiences. It's just not talked about. We are not educated in learning to do inner connection work, in connected. We are so much educated. The school systems all over the world is producing people who are living in the head, educated from the outside, following authority, listening to this and that, but not listening to their inside, their soul, their heart. So that, and there are some tools you can teach people to help them shift. And meditation is definitely one of those royal roads to waking up and realizing that beyond all the content in your mind that is really polluting your life with, you know, you objectifying our life experiences, thinking that we are... you know, we are what we do, except because we don't know that we have another dimension to ourselves. And so that is how I help. And, of course, facilitating those experiences in workshops where people get to have an experience of what that could be like for them. So those are some of the ways that people can wake up. But after you have woken up, you still have to grow up and you have to heal those parts of you that you have lost because of the parents' past life experiences where you had very difficult, traumatic experiences and you have lost pieces of yourself. So reclaiming your wholeness, really, and that's the shamanic ways are really another approach to really help you reconnect to your spirit ancestors, who you are and you can call for help for, you know, not only spirit guides, but spirit guides in the natural world, animal guides. There are so much. But because we don't know how to do that, how to connect, that's why we are so lost and stay fragmented.
It's not only that we don't know how to connect, we've actually been disconnected, like living in a city and in an apartment, and you're not connected to the earth and the animals.
Yes, and, absolutely.
And then you also... Yes. Do energy healing. You haven't talked about that yet. Talk a little bit about that. I know you do Reiki, but just talk a little more about energy.
Well, you know, when I met my my Reiki master, that lady from New Zealand that I met in Saudi Arabia, actually, she was just arriving there, and she said, and I had a practice at the time, and I had clients, and I said, oh, I'll help you, you know, I'll do your training, and I'll send people your way. And but I didn't know what I was going to discover in that myself. What I realized as I was applying what I was learning through Reiki on myself is all those blockages that I still had in my energy field started to just disentangle themselves. Things that I had not been able to heal with talk therapy and all the other stuff and trainings that I had done up to now suddenly started to shift all by itself, you know, just by putting my hands on myself and just giving myself Reiki treatment. So I started to do all the other levels, and when I did the Reiki Master training, I started to feel energy flowing out of my hands, like if I had a high pressure hose with water coming out of my hands. It was just such a powerful experience. And then I realized, my God, we really are energy. This is who we are. But that really, all that experience helped me. And the shamanic stuff I did after that, but that was my opening in really understanding that we are not that physical, material body that we have been conditioned to, you know, that consumer entity that, you know, so many people still want us to believe we are, so that we consume more and support a certain system that is really creating the chaos that we are experiencing on the earth right now. So that really helped me understand who I really was, and put words, another level of words to my experience that I had in 1980. And later, the way I now talk about it, whenever I feel I am guided to do something or there is a direction in opening up, I feel what I call an energy hit. I get like, I hear something. For example, this is another training I was guided to do, and that's the reconnection. The reconnection, an energy hit. I get hit, you know, with some kind of a high kind of frequency energy kind of goes through me, and it's like, it's not rational. I cannot explain it, but I know I've got to do it. This is the road. This is the next step for me. This is how I get guided. The next step opens up. So, for example, I had one of those experiences, and this was in 2009. Yeah, in 2009, I was following Jennifer McLean in our shows, Healing with the Masters, and she was interviewing Dr. Eric Pearl on that show. And Dr. Eric Pearl shared about his own experience of having received six sentences through one of his patients who was channeling an entity. And he started to have all kinds of things happen to him, and he started to be able to heal his patients, and all kinds of things started to happen in his practice, etc. And this was the beginning of the reconnection. And when I heard him share this, I said, I must go. I have to meet this man. So the next training that I could go to was in March, I think. Yeah, it was in March, and it was in Italy. So I flew from Saudi Arabia to Italy, and I did that training. And there again, that opened me up to another level of understanding the multidimensional, the entity that we are. Then it was another few years until I didn't dare work. I did a few. Right after I did that training, I practiced the reconnection on some of my friends because I was kind of, you know, scared almost of what could happen, because all kinds of things started to happen in the bodies of people when you did this, you know. And I still had like, oh, this can't be happening to me. I cannot be doing those things, you know. We're still having that limiting thing. So this is another fragment that was healed through one of those experiences. So that, I don't know whether I explained what I meant by an energy heat, but I now follow this. This is now my blueprint for what do I do next. For example, every day now I meditate and I get my guidance that way. After my meditation, I know exactly what I need to do, and sometimes it's not what I had planned to do, but I now follow this because this is much more powerful, because I have learned to.
We're going to have to end soon. The time is running out. But I have one more question to ask you. So you have trained with so much. I mean, you know so much and you've experienced so much already. So how do you help your clients to use their own unique gifts to help in the evolution of a more peaceful and connected world?
Well, the way I help my clients is obviously not the same. It's not a linear process depending on where the person is at. But for sure, I will help them understand how they have been limited and how their thought process is having them loop in their life. And I could use either just talking, either sometimes Reiki, sometimes, you know, most of the time I don't use Reiki. I don't train people in Reiki anymore, but I use all those things in the way I work now through coaching. But basically, what the message is with my clients is like to change, you know, their culture, their family situation. They have to change themselves. You cannot make anything happen outside unless you change it first in the energy inside of yourself by shifting some of those things that create the same patterns, your thoughts, you know, thinking differently and what do you want instead of what don't you want. And there are many, many tools and approaches. So depending on where the person is at, if the person is beginning or the person has already started on the journey, usually I meet people who have already started on the journey. Because they are attracted to something that I say that they recognize, and then, you know. But the message is you have to change yourself first. You have to work on transforming those things within yourself. And you're not alone to do this. This is happening. So many people are doing that all over the world. And you can connect to those people. You can connect to the help that is available in other dimensions to help you do this. So,
and you are also pointing out it is not just an intellectual change. It's not just saying I'm going to change.
It's
no.
It's actually not. You need the words to explain and to communicate different messages. But it is not happening at the level of the mind only. It's actually the shortest journey that takes the longest time, which is the journey from head to heart. And you know, I've heard somebody say that it's the 17-inch journey that takes a lifetime.
Wow,
and that's so
that is a full statement. So I think that's a great place to stop. 17-inch journey that takes a lifetime. How can my listeners get in touch with you and tell us if you have any upcoming programs or courses?
Well, I will have a program. I don't have a date yet because I'm beta testing a course right now, which is called Happy on Purpose. However, people can connect with me if they would like. I offer some discovery sessions, half an hour, sometimes longer, depending on who. They can apply for a discovery session, and they can go to a website which is called selfhelptoolstogrow.com/discovery session. And you will be taken to an application page, and then if you are, you know, if you're qualified, I will contact you, and we can have a talk.
Okay, so just repeat that.
And also, you can also connect with me on my website, on my blog site. Actually, this is the blog site. I'm working on setting up a funnel right now, but the my blog site is www.alinemunch.com. MUNSCH.com.
Okay, that might be easier because it's a little hard sometimes to understand the words. AileenMunch.com. MUNSCH is the last name. Aileen, this was just delightful to speak to you, and I know that my listeners will have learned something already just from what you've shared. And thank you for coming.
Thank you, Erica, for doing this. Thank you very much. Okay.
Well, I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond and Be Healthy at the Same Time. Contact me at drericagoodstone.com for counseling, coaching, or upcoming courses. Hire me to speak at your next event, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon.